What's up, guys? Welcome back to Kinda Funny's Batman in Review. That's right. We are ranking and reviewing every theatrically released Batman movie. As always, I'm Tim Geddes, joined by one of the coolest dudes in video games, Greg Miller.
Your angel of death awaits, Tim Geddes.
The nitro rifle, Andy Cortez.
Tim, your angel of death awaits.
Andy, you have to do something original. Don't always just copy what I say.
Damn it. Slash God. Producer, Nick Scarpino.
Everyone's angel of death awaits.
Nice. Original, Nick. Nice.
Thanks, guys.
And the big dog, Kevin Coelho.
Batman!
There it is. That's what we needed. That's the energy we need right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, you could watch this show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, or you could watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunny. If you want to listen to it, guess what? You can just search your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny Reviews, and we'll be right there for you. If you want to get the show ad-free, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like Muhammad and Al Tribesman, Momo and Al, doing the best. Doing
Thank
the
you, most. Momo and Al, for supporting us for so long.
Today.
They deserve their own sitcom, Momo and Al.
I already said that. I mean.
What channel?
You got to be original. It's on the
ABC family. ABC family. Anyways, Momo and Al, thanks for all the support. You've been with us a long time.
Absolutely. You guys are
Is
fantastic.
That original and a fan for you, Andy?
Yeah, it's
You piece of garbage.
It's good.
So on Mondays here, we are doing Batman in Review, and on Thursdays, we're doing Conjuring in Review. Very excited for that. Annabelle is up next. But today, we're talking about Batman, Mask of the Phantasm. What a cool word.
Very cool. Like,
fuck it. You know, anytime there's an asm in a word, I'm just a fan of it.
Yeah. Do they ever make reference to the fact that the bad guy in this is called the Phantasm? It's not, it's the Phantasm, right? They just decided, they wrote the movie and they were like, what should we call this, Batman? What do you think? And then someone's like, how about
Ghost of Christmas Past?
Yeah, exactly. The Death of Chucky Soul. And like, that's lame. How about Mask of the Phantasm? Cool. Yeah. Does he have to look, is he going to find a mask at some point? No. Is the mask going to play anything in? No.
What do you mean? It's a big deal. You don't know the whole time. It's Andrea.
Well, let me ask you guys this question. Now, I never played this game, but Majora's Mask, was that something that you found in The Legend of Zelda? Like, was that like a thing that you needed to beat fucking Ganondorf at the end?
Yeah.
Dorf? So like in this, I always watch. I was like, Mask of the Phantasm. He's going to find it. That's going to be the key to the MacGuffin that he needs. No, just a cool name.
I'll tell you what, though. Is this not the most iconic VHS cover?
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, I mean, just starting it right off, the design of this. I mean, granted, it's based off of the animated show, of course, but the actual look of the movie is stunning. The art is gorgeous. I don't know, you guys probably watched it on Netflix. I wish they had a better transfer, because the transfer of this for me was just terrible.
It's rough, man. It's very, very real smudgy.
It's like someone randomly just like took it, scaled it up by like 100% in Photoshop, or not Photoshop, but Premiere, and then just quickly exported it, because the grain is huge. I wish they'd go back and clean this up, because the movie itself is stunning.
It's like as if someone just pointed a camera at like a movie theater.
I'm not kidding, at parts, and you would expect to see this in live action, but there's moments, there are shots that are out of focus where like the characters look out of focus, and I'm like, that's not even possible unless you drew them out
of focus. It that way.
Yeah, exactly. But I
mean, we're talking about Mask of the Phantasm, released on December 24th, 1993, making it the first film set in the DC animated universe. Directed by Eric Radomski and Bruce Timm. Eric Radomski is a producer best known as co-creator and co-producer of Batman the Animated Series. He also acted as producer for Freakazoid, Shaolin Showdown, Shaggy and Scooby-Doo, Get a Clue, Ultimate Spider-Man, Avengers Assemble, Hulk and the Agents of Smash, and Guardians of the Galaxy. Bruce Timm is an American artist, character designer, animator, writer, producer, and actor. He's best known for his contributions building the modern DC Comics animated franchise, the DC Animated Universe. And so, oh man.
Did this come out before the show?
No.
No.
When did the show
came alongside.
Come alongside? Like, because I always thought the show was 94, but that might be
92.
92? Okay.
Yeah.
A budget of $6 million and a box office of $5.8 million. It did not do well. Not do well at all. But there's a lot of reasons for that. Originally planned as a direct-to-video release, Warner Brothers gave Mask of the Phantasm a theatrical release, condensing its production into a strenuous 8-month schedule. Oof. The film was released through the studio's Family Entertainment division to positive reviews from critics who praised the stylized animation, voice performances, story, and music. While the animators were thrilled and extremely grateful for this decision, this left them with less than a year of production time and scrambling to convert the aspect ratio to widescreen. Due to the decision to release it in theaters on short notice, the film failed at the box office. After its release on home video, it became financially financially successful. Its success led to two direct-to-video standalone sequels, Batman and Mr. Freeze Sub-Zero in 1998, and The Mystery of the Batwoman in 2003. Until the limited release of Batman the Killing Joke in 2016, Mask of the Phantasm was the only animated Batman film to be given a theatrical release. Yeah.
I think I saw this in theaters, Greg. Did you see this in theaters?
No, I didn't see Batman Mask of the Phantasm for years and years and years and years. I watched the animated series religiously in Grandma Miller's living room, but for some reason or another, I never went off and watched this. I watched it, I don't even know, probably a decade ago or something like that, but that was the first and only time I had seen it before last night.
That's shocking.
Greg, you know a decade is longer than, like, 2010 is a decade ago.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I know. Yeah.
Because I did the same thing, Greg. You know, I saw it was like 10 years ago, but really it was like 95.
20. Yeah. Yeah, no. As 25. A kid, I never went to see this as a movie. I guess my parents just never bought it was the thing, and so I never did.
I don't remember it even being in theaters. Like I just thought it was always a straight to home release, only because I feel like every family member had that case, VHS, had that VHS case. Yeah,
it's funny because I think I remember the only reason I remember seeing it in theaters, and I could be misremembering this, but there's a shot at the very beginning, maybe the first 10 minutes, when we first see the Phantasm. And Chucky, the car goes off into the thing and kills the guy. And then Batman looks over and sees the Phantasm disappear. And he runs over. And I'll never forget. I was like, because I hadn't seen this in the animated show before. He puts his hand on the brick and like leans over to look. And the camera dollies past him. And it's a very, very cinematic shot. And I just remember the sound in the theater being like very quiet when that happened. I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. I hope they make 15 more of these and release them. And they never did.
Well, I mean, Nick, we also had that stellar 3D fly through of Gotham, which was like, you know, seeing 3D in that way was kind of mind blowing at the time.
Oh, where,
you know, you're just not sort of used to that thing. I mean, obviously, it's just all primitive shapes. It's just rectangles with red lighting on them.
But it kind of works.
It was still super sick. Yeah.
So they made that actually for the cartoon, and they were going to use it in just the cartoon normally. But because of the truncated production schedule, they're just like, oh no, hold on, just let's put that in the movie. And then they never went back and like kept adding it to the show.
Oh,
which is like a weird choice, because yeah, it was one of those things where it actually went the other way, where it like seems like it would be all that was made for the movie, but it was actually made for the show.
The iconic red sky.
Yeah, cool.
I think just taking a step back, just talking about the art direction behind this, just Gotham in the animated show is so cool. And the fact that you have it here, it's just so tall. It's so vertical. Everything is just tall and narrow and claustrophobic. And you have, it's so deco. It's such a rad concept for what they, the production design, what they chose for this that then echoed, I think, largely for the Superman cartoon. Because I think Batman came out first, right, Greg?
It started, the animated series started the universe that would become Superman, right. Animated series, which would become Justice League Unlimited.
Right. And that has that sort of retro modern feel to it, like that past future feel to it, which I always thought was really, really cool. And I would love to see them do that in a movie one day, which I guess Tim Burton's kind of did that, but not really, because Tim Burton still had like 80s cars and stuff like that. But just the idea of like in this, we see sort of like the inspiration where the Batmobile came from, and that little touch of him seeing it at the World's Fair, where it's like, this is what the car of the future is going to look like. You know, it's like what Tomorrowland used to look like, Tim, before they gutted it and made Star Wars Land. You know, and it was like everything was that cool retro future look.
Yeah.
That's really fun for me.
Dude, I really appreciated this movie. Like, I don't know that I've ever actually seen it all the way through. Like, there's enough of it that I'm like, I must have when I was younger. But like, it definitely, there was things in this that I was like, huh, didn't expect that. Didn't remember that at all. And I often confuse this with the Sub-Zero one, which I definitely did see. When I was,
I've never
so
seen
a little
that
older for that one. Yeah,
it's Batman not versus that great. Mr. or Sub Zero or Mr. Freeze or whatever it is. Because there was a bunch of them that are just Batman versus Dracula, Batman this, Batman that. And I could be wrong, but you guys correct me. It's like the Lego Batman movie versus just the normal Lego movies, where like they're not really trying on these. These are going straight to video for kids, right?
Well, Lego Batman, that's not a good example of that. But
no, I'm saying the Lego Batman movie would have been like the because there's a bunch of Lego movies that are shitty. Right?
I see what you're saying. They're not shitty. Like, no, they're good.
This was like kid movies. Well, this was like a AAA, like, let's try to make a cool cinematic movie that we're going to put out. And then the rest of them were like the normal Lego movies, is what I'm trying to say, where it's like, Ninjago. You're like, I don't expect this to be.
Well, that's also an example of the good one. But was that a good one? But I get what you're saying. There are Lego Batman movies that are not the Lego Batman movie. That are definitely lesser than. They're not theatrical experiences. Yes, I really appreciated.
I don't need this point anymore.
The I appreciated this movie so much for kind of just being a standalone thing that you don't need to have watched the animated show. You kind of just get in there, and like the story is super simple and it's short enough. Like the runtime is only an hour 16 minutes, right? Which is great. And I feel like it accomplishes a lot with that time. The amount of flashbacks and the use of flashbacks, I think, is really cool, clever, and like builds Batman's backstory in a way that like doesn't need to be the same thing we've seen a million times. And the villains are cool and the cast around him is cool. It's just, I enjoyed this a lot. And I think that more than not, it really worked for me.
I have such a high respect for this movie, but I just did not love it a whole lot this time around. And I think it's because I had such nostalgia for it. And I remember it being like the best of the best, greatest thing, greatest animated thing ever. And it still felt short for me this time, where I respect, you know, all the acting was great. And, you know, you have such a high level of animation and cool environments and characters and everything like that. But all the flashback stuff and I don't know, it just didn't hold up that great for me as much as I would have liked it to.
I'm with Andy, where I came into it expecting like, all right, I love the animated series, even though I haven't watched it obviously in years and years and years either. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Conroy is so good and Mark Hamill is so good. And we're back to it. We're going to get in here. I mean, like even Delaney, who does Lois, but in this movie is Andrea Beaumont.
Shit. She did Lois.
Yeah, that's she awesome. Does Lois in the animated Superman
that's
animated series.
That's awesome. I never put that together.
I think, you know, the performances are great. It's, you know, all this is put together by Andrea Romano. If you don't know her, this star of DC animated universes. And I don't mean like a literal star. I mean, behind the scenes star. She's the one who gets the voices together and, you know, directs them and casts them and works with all of them to make it great. Yeah. But yeah, I was the same thing of like, I got into it and we were going and I was just like, oh, like, it's just not hitting the way I wanted to. Even like, you know, you forget that we've had this is 93, but 92 is when it got introduced, right? So we've had more than almost 30 years of Mark Hamill as Joker.
Yeah.
So then to hear his Joker here and be like, oh yeah, you're still figuring it out. And granted, this, you know, your Joker is in a different place in his timeline or whatever, but it's like, oh right, like, okay, like this isn't all the way there. And even, you know, Kevin Conroy, who I think is such a fantastic Batman and I love so much. I was here like waiting for it and waiting for like the big Batman moment of like, you know, even if, and he doesn't have to do the exact speech, but his, I am the knight, I am vengeance, I am Batman, and that never got that. You get it's similar to the other Batman I think we've seen from Keaton in 89, right? We get this Batman that is to some extent unsure of himself, not to the level of, you know, not knowing what he's doing, but wrestling with this, which is an interesting conundrum of, can he have a normal life? Can he fall in love? And then even when Andrea comes back into the picture, what does that mean for him going forward?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that I find actually fascinating about this. And I think it's from trivia from last week, one of the things that I think Keaton himself wanted to see a little bit more in the Tim Burton films, which is that to have Batman have some sort of like conflict or character arc, sure, which we don't really get up until this point. This one, we get it in spades. We also see a little homage to Batman, like Year One, where he's running around beating up crooks and stuff. But he's like, they don't fear me. But it is interesting to think, when I think back of Kevin Conroy, I think about him as probably being the pinnacle or the quintessential Batman, in my opinion. He has that forcefulness, that presence on screen, even though it's a VO that he's doing, that just is iconic. And you're right, it's not quite here. Although I will disagree with you a little bit. I thought Hamill's Joker was, I just think Hamill's Joker is perfect all the time. He's just got the laugh down. He has the ability to have it be like, is he crazy or is he having fun or is it a combination of both?
Well, yeah, like when he's fighting Andrea, right, and he gets knocked out of the table, and there's a knife for the bologna, and he grabs the bologna, and grabs the face with this giant thing of bologna.
I do also want to give a shout out to something that I mean, again, you just blew my mind with Dan Delaney being Lois Lane. Thank you for that, Greg.
That's what I'm here for. I blow you every time I can.
This, thanks, Mom. Thanks, Daddy.
Anytime, baby.
I can't remember which one you want. but what blew me away this time was I was like, oh my god, I never put it together, Tim. The guy that plays the little shit finance guy who's trying to hit on Dana Delaney at the beginning, do you know what he's from? Mm-mm. That's Ellis from Die Hard. That's right, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked it up and I was like, oh my, Hans Booby. He's like, Ellis, you don't know these guys. They're going to kill you. And they kill
him. More importantly, he's the love interest in the movie Supergirl.
He is the love. He's the guy that's like he's supposed to be like a bohunk in that, right?
Yeah, he's just like a moron.
Man, when's the last time you watched that? I tried watching that like 2 months ago, and I was like, "This does not hold up."
When it came to DVD, I bought it, and I was like, "Oh man, this movie is even worse than I remember it being."
Thank God Helen Slater had like The Secret of My Success and some other movies. She went on to do some have a good career, but man, that one was a weird one.
Yeah,
Kev, what do you think about it?
This is my first time ever watching it. Realized when I started watching it, I really, really enjoyed it. It was weird to see all these things where I was like, oh shit, like it felt very much like a prequel to the show. And that, like, I don't know, it added a bunch of cool stuff where it's like, I didn't super love that they gave Joker a background that, like, you know, we could, you know, point at and be like, oh, so I guess he was a gangster before all of whatever happened. But I don't know. I really, really enjoyed it. I thought, like, the story was cool and the look of everything was cool. Same thing, we had a couple of those wide shots where you see like the city and it's like, man, it's so cool that like, I wish someone else had done, like attempted to make Gotham look like this. I know that, what's his face? Burton, like kind of had this feel, but it just, it's so cool what they can do with animations to make like the city look like grandiose and like old and decrepit. Anyways, yeah. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, like I was saying, I think this movie really works for me because it does just feel like the best the animated show has to offer, but in a condensed movie form that you don't need to watch. Like, because a lot of the animated show episodes, it's like it's 20 minutes and it's like you don't really get too much. Sometimes there's two-parters or maybe even three-parter every once in a while. But like this kind of felt like the perfect amount of time to tell a story that is a little deeper than we would normally get. But I do think that it is, at the end of the day, still kind of like not a perfect experience where it's like there. I think that we look back on these animated shows a lot more fondly than we actually would feel about them if we were to watch them through today.
Sure.
Recently, I watched a whole bunch of episodes of Batman the Animated Series and X-Men the Animated Series. And both of X-Men's those, it's rough. Like it's and Batman, I think, is in a much different place than X-Men. But both of them, it's like, oh man, I want to like this more than I actually like it.
Yeah.
But I think that this movie kind of, to me, is just like, okay, that proves my thoughts about this. And it like solidifies the fact that I'm like, this is great, but we've seen things since this. Like this, I'm so happy it happened to get us where we are today, where we're able to get stories that are deeper and to have this kind of look. And like, man, the visual look of it is awesome when it doesn't look smudged and weird. But yeah, it's like it is cool to see like the potential of what these movies can be, and I think that it fully reaches that.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's the spot on. And again, I think you nailed it, which is that we don't get Under the Red Hood unless you have this, right? These are all this the animated series for me, a lot of the ways, and I think Greg touched on it too, was just like that is sort of like the beginning point for a lot of basically like comic book, like reaching or comic book content reaching into pop culture. And for me, like I'll never forget the first time I saw an ad for the animated show when I was a kid. I was like,
that
what
opening
the fuck? Like I saw a cartoon, it's coming. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. Tim, I think, I mean, like everyone's spoiled now because there's so many different amazing cartoons that you know are good for kids. But back in the day, dude, this was like the commitment to that art style too, which at first I was like, that's way too simple. Cause coming off of X-Men, where if you see a still of X-Men versus a still of this, you're like, this is a terribly done. But then you see it in motion, you're like, oh, they committed to its art styles. They could do a lot more fluidity, a lot more stuff, a lot more cells. And the show was just so good. And I'll tell you one thing right now, my favorite two-parter, Greg, what is it? What's my favorite two-parter?
I don't know.
Batman Goes to Metropolis. That's
Daddy
right.
And the Baby.
So when the
that might have been Superman.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's the opening.
That might have been the Superman.
Yeah. Well, it's not even an episode. It's a crossover movie they made. Yeah, that then introduces all the stuff and stuff.
There you go.
Or it has them crossover.
The end credit song, I Never Even Told You, is a rare singing performance by Tia Carrera.
Whoa.
Was that are you talking about the one with the nasty saxophone where it just gets dirty?
World's Finest. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I'll say this also. Just my last little thing on this. The music in this, the iconic fucking animated show music. Come on. Can we just get a moment of silence for that?
It's great, but it was severely lacking the iconic theme.
I agree. We needed that in spades, man. We needed
That was the thing, is they did the iconic theme in Latin or whatever in the beginning with like people singing and stuff, and it was like, ah, like all right, like
the people singing it was singing like the producers' names backwards.
Is that a real factor?
A hater.
Swear to God. Yeah.
Wow.
Why would they do that?
Plot time.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Batman Mask of the Phantasm. So apparently they're singing, for my Netflix, it said singing in Latin, but Tim says their name's backwards. All right, whatever. They're singing the Batman theme all weird and stuff as we go through Gotham, like we already talked about. And then we start going into one the seedy casino building. And you know, if a building says casino, it's full of dirt bags. And this one sure is. Mr. Soul is in there, Chucky Soul, and he's got a whole bunch of counterfeit money. And everybody's looking at it, and they're like, yeah, you would need a super special microscope to figure this out. And, like, and they're all like, oh, this is really cool, Chucky. And like, yeah, and like, they're like, but it's cool. And we have all this, and they're having this conversation in front of a giant window, like, yeah, you know. And from the very back, you see this tiny speck, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's fucking Batman. He's been listening to this entire fucking conversation. He smashes the fuck in, and everybody's like, oh my God, it's Batman. And so everybody runs over and they start trying to fist fight him, and Batman just dispatches these guys, no problem. And then a few of them are like, wait a second, we have guns. They pull out their guns, and Batman goes under a table, and they're shooting through the table, but Batman still just pushes the table up. He fucking throws that in their faces. He gets over there, he's doing these kicks, like, pow, pow.
Yeah, in a very slow manner. They could like, as he's doing the table thing, just kind of like lean down and just.
Right. Yeah, they didn't play super hot. They don't understand. If they played super hot DR, they would know that they could, you know, so move and use the 3D space and get under there. Even some pistol whip would help these guys out. True. But it's no use for them. They get clowned the F out. However, Soul, he runs. Mr. Soul, he takes off. And he runs to a parking garage. And based on how long it will take Batman to get there, this parking garage is about 7 football fields away, except that Chucky Soul got immediately transported to it.
But he gets there. I do want to point out, Greg,
please,
that, you know, Gotham, very, very dangerous city. Not just because of the crime, but the fact that you could be 90 stories in the sky and a walkway without any guardrails. Like, this is a hazard. We need, what are they called? OSHA or whatever? Like,
yeah, the OSHA violations are happening there, big time.
OSHA violation, but also really, really cool. Like, can we all agree that little connecting walkways between tall buildings, really fucking cool.
Very cool.
It's that delicate balance, you know, safety versus cool, fashion, function. I don't know.
Exactly.
It's like a Rivendell, you know, they have a lot of that too over there in Rivendell. Lord of the Rings,
where Archie was.
I thought you were talking about the
Archie and Jughead
from.
No, Rivendell.
They made a show about that.
No, you pronounce it Riverdale.
Riverdale.
I know you're pronouncing it like you got stung by a bee and have an allergy. Riverdale.
Jughead.
Rivendell. I'm Archie and I'm in Riverdale. Wait a second. You know what I mean? That's how you're talking right now. Okay. Archie gets hay fever. Archie gets hay fever.
Is that
all right?
A sneeze? Was that a sneeze?
That's him blowing his nose. That was his going, I'm blowing his nose. Yeah.
Got it.
It's who? That would be it. Remember, everybody, Greg Miller for all your VO needs. All right. Mike Biffle bit the bullet. You think you can stay away from me, Corey Barlog? Fucking get on board. Anyways, Chucky runs to a parking garage and he gets in his car, and lo and behold, in front of him already, or maybe even before he gets in the car, is who he thinks is Batman. He's like, Batman, how'd you get here so quick? And then there's all this smoke, and the dude walks out, and it's actually the Phantasm. He goes, Chucky Soul, your angel of death awaits. And he's like, oh fuck, I don't know who this guy is, but you're as crazy as Batman. And he jumps in his car, and then maybe the guy came at him and like did stuff with his hook hand, maybe he didn't, I don't know. But eventually also, Chuck,
impervious to bullets.
Yeah. Like, there's lots of
no reaction to him whatsoever. Even if you're wearing 4 police vests, you might still go like, ooh, you know, that's wow. That still kind of feels something right there, but impervious.
Exactly. Yeah. Because he got the smoke. The Phantasm has smoke. And spoiler alerts, everybody, it's Andrea. That's the Phantasm, all right? Because I was gonna play along and call him the whole time, but it doesn't make any goddamn sense. You're here because you watched the fucking movie.
The Phantasm fucking disappears whenever he wants to. The smoke, I don't know what the hell the smoke does. It's clear that the smoke is not real. Like, it, you know,
well, yeah, like when scenes, like, man, literally she targets Joker's face and the cloud just sits around his face. It's like, what is this sentient smoke you invented, Andrea? What was your father into?
He also just like Batman is also like, there's some sort of chemical polymer
residue.
In the smoke.
Yeah, the residue. Yeah.
And it just like, I don't understand what the smoke does, because it doesn't seem like it does anything.
Science with Kev. He said chemical polymer.
Yeah. Do we ever get a resolution for what the, because they made a big deal of that, or they show it twice. It's like, this is the same smoke that I found on the glass. I thought it was going to be a clue that would lead him to like her identity, but I don't think we ever get it, right?
It led him to understand that both those murders were connected.
That's all we got?
Yeah.
I don't think I need to be the world's greatest detective that all these mob bosses are getting knocked off together.
We're 3 movies into this now, and it's like, I feel like even adding on a whole bunch of other things I know about Batman, it's like, people say he's the world's greatest detective a lot more often than we actually see him be the world's greatest detective. Because more often than not, it's kind of just like, oh, here's this thing. Looks like that thing must be the thing. And then it is. It's like, this is a perfect example of that, where it's like, all right, cool. You found the polymers. Congratulations.
Yeah, I think it's because many people think the detective work is boring. Maybe, you know what I mean? I think comics do it so much better than pieces things together.
There's a lot of staring and stuff and thinking.
Rizzoli and Isles, all right? I'm still watching that show, and they can do
Rizzoli
some
banger. Rizzoli and Isles? Never again. You're not watching Rizzoli and Isles. You're not watching. What happened
how many seasons
of Rizzoli and Isles that you
watched? Man, I'll tell you what. They had a perp down on the block, and he had done some kind of sexual thing, and they had some stuff they were trying to piece together to find him. But it turned out that Rizzoli was a bit too close to the case, and that her significant other might have known this person and or been that person, or maybe it was Isles' child who was somehow involved.
Which one's Rizzoli and which one's Isles?
I could not. You could put any. You can go, Nick. You get like 10 different photos of actresses together. I wouldn't be able to tell you.
We're doing that on the podcast tomorrow. You know, we're gonna do the ultimate Rizzoli and Isles test, Tim.
Mark, you know how we got Power Rangers and Ninja Turtles crossover? Did we ever get a Franklin and Bash and Rizzoli and Isles crossover?
Oh, we should have. They were. I mean, Franklin and Bash were lawyers. Everyone knows that, Andy. Don't be stupid. Rizzoli and Isles, of course, were. They were like they were for the coroner's office, right? Weren't they like forensic?
Looks like they could work together to me. Nick, sounds like, I mean,
Andy, you just proved my point. You're right.
We're not talking about
I hate you so much, Nick. You just proved my point. You're right. No.
Rizzoli and Isles always reminds me of the fast food chain Fazoli's. Did this ever make it out here to California?
I have no idea. What, Tim, do you know what they're talking about?
Not the slightest clue.
Kevin, this one's especially for you. And Andy, if I'm lying, I'm dying. You know it. Fazoli's was fast food pasta.
Yes.
Where you'd go to the drive-thru like a McDonald's and order a spaghetti and meatball, and you pull up to the window and they'd give it to you.
Kevin, that sounds awesome. Kevin, they had endless breadsticks, phenomenal, Kevin. Yeah. We would go, I tell you what we would do. We were going to the Coheed and Cambria concert. We're going to wait in line for like 8 hours so we could be the first. We're like, we got to carb up, guys. And I swear to God, like 19 breadsticks
that
day.
Why are you carbo loading for waiting in line? That's not a physically demanding.
We're going to be sweating. We need the energy, Kev. Anyway, back to Batman. Sorry.
For me, it was the one time, like you talk about being broke in college, where I went to Fazoli's to get a spaghetti and meatball, some sticks, and a Coke. And I got up there, and the guy headed the food there, and I handed him my credit card, and he ran it, and he just went, did it again. A third time, he's like, all right, yeah, you have no money in your account. And I just took it back, and I went, oh, all right, and slowly drove away. Like, I couldn't get the food. Like, I had no other form of payment. I just had to slowly leave.
Here's the thing. Have you ever had, like, spaghetti at Sbarro's?
No. If I'm there, I'm there for a big old slice. Italian za.
Wipe your ass that slice.
I feel like I've never had good spaghetti at like a mall. Like I've never been like, you know what? This is fantastic spaghetti. I'm going back.
Now hold on a second. You and Blessing love Jollibee. Have you ever had good spaghetti at Jollibee?
No. The Jollibee there is made Filipino style, which means the marinara or the red sauce has a sweetness to it, and I'm not a fan of that. I'm not
sure. Sure. Anyways, so now Mr. Chucky Soul drives at the Phantasm after shooting a bunch. Phantasm turns to smoke. Chucky goes through smoke, like, whoa, and then when the smoke clears, it turns up. Yeah, he's 150 stories up in this parking garage, right through a fucking wall. It's like,
That is an interesting point because, and Kevin, you might know more about this. Do they traditionally? I guess they do sometimes build parking garages on the top of buildings,
well,
but not normally skyscrapers, right?
Yeah, not.
There's a lot of concrete to put
usually,
on top of offices.
I want to say the highest you see in most places 5 to 7 stories, somewhere around that
of the park, and that's usually the parking structure, and then everything's built on top of that. So the fact that he is 100 stories into the air in this doesn't make a ton of sense.
Can you imagine?
But there's a lot of small shots in this that when you start thinking about, you're like, that's weird.
Don't even think about it.
Can you imagine for a second driving up? Because you know how you always have to drive in like in a circle, like a spiral.
Yeah, you'd be there for 45 minutes, and you'd throw up. Someone's just throw up on their shoulder.
It reminds me of like how Nick used to like go through the SFO parking lot when we had to park there, and he would like
I try to drift that shit, Tim.
You did. You live.
That's also.
And we got a Fast and Furious moment here too.
Anyways, building to building, right? Car off one side,
driving. He died.
Building to building.
Yeah, he smashes. He dies. We don't really get like him dead, eyeballs hanging out of his face or anything, but he's dead, it turns out, right? Because his car smashes there, and then Batman finally shows up. He's like, what happened? And he runs over, and he looks over the side, and everybody's like, holy shit, this guy's dead, and Batman did it. And Batman's like, ah, fuck, here we go again.
Fuck, I knew it was going to happen.
Yeah. Phantasm disappears. Then we get Arthur Reeves. Arthur Reeves is a councilman, and he's leading a news conference in the morning, and he's like, it's Batman. Batman did all this to us, and he killed this guy, and finally Batman's gone too far, and we hate Batman now. And everybody's like, and Gordon's like, I don't really hate Batman. And he says something really funny, though, Arthur, where he's like, you know, yeah, and Batman's mentally unhinged or whatever. And then we cut to the Batcave where Batman's watching it as Bruce Wayne and Alfred's there. And Alfred's like, oh, no, you're totally hinged. I hung your smoke bombs in the other room and did this thing. And Bruce's like, aha, you got me. You got me. You know what I mean? And this is the other thing like we were talking about, right, of the conversation of, like, he's got the glass, or that he picked up glass there, right? He picked up some glass. It had some smuts on it. And he's like, oh, look at this. This is a polymer. Of course, Alfred. And Alfred's like, of course, it's a polymer. I knew that. It's broken glass with a polymer on it. I'm not an idiot. And he's like, yeah,
me or Alfred seems scared in this one? Like, I don't want to piss this guy off.
Whatever. No, Alfred seems great in this one. This is the most human Alfred we've ever had. Human Alfred we've ever had. I love him. Love him. Great performance as always from this Alfred, whose name I can never pronounce. Do you know this guy's how to pronounce his name?
I don't remember it. I'll look it up real quick.
Ephraim Zimbalist Jr., I'm going to say. Oh. Everybody get on that. Anyways, Batman has that. This is then. I think do they introduce it here, or does it just happen? They introduce it. They're doing a party at Wayne Manor that night. Maybe not. It doesn't really matter. But what happens then is we get Arthur talking to Andrea, even though we don't know it's Andrea. She's on a plane. A lot of misdirection here for us as the viewer. She did all this stuff as Phantasm, then got on a plane. Did she say that to Arthur, and she implanted that in his head? Does her apartment look like a plane? And I thought she was in a plane, and she's not in a plane. Doesn't matter. She has a conversation with him while she has a magazine with Bruce Wayne's face on it of like, yeah, we're doing this thing tonight. And she's like, don't worry about him. It's all over. And I'm whatever, blah, 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 blah. So we go to a party now at Wayne Manor, and we get to see Playboy Bruce Wayne sitting there whining and dining. All these women who have that WAP, they are there and they are ready and they want to fuck this guy. And they're like they're turning their backs on him and rubbing their bodies on him. This one woman walks up. She's got no pupils. She's so just got dead black eyes. It happened, and I was like, I was trying to remember. I'm like, does she turn into Harley Quinn here? Like, is this a? And somebody, I was like, oh wait, the redesign of Harley Quinn in like Batman, the new Batman cartoon had that. Not even this one.
I'm pretty sure that one of the voices was the Harley Quinn voice.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like Harley Quinn.
Yeah,
I will say shout out to you know, it's 1993, 1992 when they're making this probably. Shout out to the very multicultural.
You appreciated the diversity, but did you appreciate that one of them that was a minority had jet black eyes like a shark?
Wait, sorry. No, hold on. Give me a sec. Can you guys hear me? Yeah, hold on. I accidentally unplugged the audio and it like killed everything. Give me 2 seconds. What are you guys? Okay. I mean, they can still see you. Desktop audio. Why is it? No, they can hear me. So sorry, kids. We're coming back in just 1 second. General Oppo.
I thought you just spoiled it for me for your Rizzoli and Isles test tomorrow. Now that I don't know who this AD is, I'll be fine. I will not look up Angie Hartman.
I always thought it was one person, Rizzoli and Isles. Like the
I
last
don't know what that
there.
Show is, and you guys keep talking about it like it was a popular show.
It was super popular for
I don't
my
think
mom.
So, because
the doorbell just
mom.
Rang. I got to get it. I got to get the okay. doorbell.
I mean, Rizzoli and Isles
we're
is
back,
show.
By the way. They can hear you guys.
That's yeah, fine. So they want to know.
Chat, everybody in chat was like, oh, Nick is still talking about Batman. No, we're talking about Rizzoli and Isles the whole time. Rizzoli and Isles is one of those shows that only would get a lot of publicity during, I don't know, the Super Bowl, or the playoffs. And it'd be like, check out Rizzoli and Isles. And it's a show that probably lasted two seasons, maybe.
It was TNT, and I'm looking at it right now. You're right, Andy, because it was always like, tonight it heats up on TNT. It was like Rizzoli and Isles, and then on Franklin and Bash, and tonight on Suits, which I know I just mixed those up because some of those are USA. Yeah. It looks like it had 7 seasons, Andy. So you can take your opinion and cram it in one of your holes, because Rizzoli and Isles is popular.
The fact that it's TNT makes me think that it went into syndication, because TNT doesn't usually broadcast new stuff.
I always
thought
TNT was just syndication. Yeah. I don't know.
No, I mean, I think for a long time it was.
Yeah, maybe. I'm just. It looks like on IMDb it was 7 seasons. Let me see if I can figure out where it came from. But it's not really high priority.
Craig, what you opening right there, buddy?
What's he going? Come on, Daddy. What are you opening?
Pops. You got them pops?
Nah, I wasn't pop.
Is it an Oculus?
We have a whole bunch of different boxes, but this is Oculus Quest 2.
Oh shit, that's cool.
So this movie really like made me realize how much I don't like people referring to their dads as daddy.
Daddy,
like, you hit a certain age, daddy, then you should just stop. You know,
or you have to be really
rich. What is that age?
But
probably,
like, really rich makes sense too.
Like 11.
Yeah, 11's probably around where if I was walking around with my kid and he was in junior high and he was like, "Daddy," I'd be like, "You will call me father."
It's really weird, and I don't like the relationship with this councilman or whatever it is. And
well, she's supposed to be young in this. Like, remember, they're supposed to probably have met right out of college, and she's like she's supposed to be like that rich spoiled girl. So she just calls him daddy, but he's also a crook, a crooked crook.
We'll get to that later. Instead, like we said, we're at the party, a whole bunch of people with wops want to fuck Bruce Wayne, and then one of them that used to have a wop, she comes over and she's like, "I'll tell you what he does. He treats you like this, and then doesn't call you ever, and acts like you died."
She
throws a drink in his fucking face. Throws a drink in his face.
That's it.
And it's like, damn, this is Bruce Wayne really playing it up well here. You know what I mean? And he walks away, and that's when Arthur Reeves comes over and he's like, "Oh, Bruce, I swear you pick them lucky. They're just going to leave you. You don't want them to stick around anyway, you dumb idiot. Here, clean your face off." And then he's like, "What about that one, though, that got away?" "All right, that's Andrea Beaumont." And he's like, fuck you, Arthur. You suck." And he walks away.
Such a lame moment, though. I didn't like any of this.
That was such a real moment where it's like, oh, shit, that one hurt. That one hurt him.
It was just, I don't know.
Andy, you got to find love, you know what I mean? So you understand.
Yeah, Andy, where's your heart?
But it was just badly executed in the way that he's like, "What about that one?" Like, I don't know. It was clearly just, we gotta get this exposition out to the audience so they know that Bruce had his heart broken. But the way it was all just sort of executed was pretty lame.
And so Bruce goes into another room to sulk and clean his face. And then we get the awesome in his own head of Kevin Conroy. "Andrea." Like, right? Because he's thinking about it. You know, and we go into a flashback. And we go into it. What do you mean it sucked? That was funny. It was funny in a bad way. You're right.
Yeah,
but the flashback's cool.
That's more of what I mean, that we get that moment as well. And then later on down the line, when Batman realizes that the dude is Joker and he's like,
"Dude,
no," like that moment is too.
That was also awesome.
And he did it bug you when he draws the bottom half of a smile and he goes, "No." And it cuts back and the top half is drawn. And I was like, "Who drew the top half?"
What a weird reveal.
Yeah. I loved it. Also, while we're here just making fun of stupid things in this, I want to know how angry Tim was when Batman runs from the cops. There's the one point where he like swings down and then he just flat out bites it. Out of nowhere. And I was like, oh, Tim's going to hate this. Tim hates Batman falling down.
Make Batman cool, guys. Everyone's so determined to humanize him in this way that doesn't make sense.
That escape that he's trying to do, he has a lot of bad falls where it's like, why would he not even try to roll? Like, I guess the animation.
He's never looked more scared in his life. He looked like every criminal that he's ever chased in these goddamn cartoons, dude. He's running away and he's like, come on, Batman.
Well, he has like a concussion at that point. He's bleeding. He's maskless. So whatever. Anyways, in this section of the movie, we have the flashback. It's Bruce at his parents' grave, sitting there being all broody as usual. Broody Bruce.
Broody.
And then he hears somebody else talking and he looks over and it's Andrea and she's talking to her dead mom. And he comes over. He's like, "What?" This is another horrible scene. "What? Excuse me?" And she's like, "What? I wasn't talking to you. I'm just over here." He's like, "Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking to me." And then he starts to leave and she's clearly back to a conversation. And she's like, "Oh, yeah, that's Bruce Wayne. Yeah." But he comes back. He's like, I'm sorry, what? She's like, "I'm talking to my dead mom, idiot. I'm explaining who you are, you dummy."
How would you not get that? She's staring at the ground talking. Of course, the first thing I would think is she's talking to her parents. Maybe she just needs a second to herself. Maybe butt out of it, you fucking creepy rich kid.
You guys don't understand. Like, that's such a foreign thing because he never talks to his parents. He just sits there and stands silently in front of them. You know?
At no point,
he's literally going to have a conversation with them in this movie.
Well, that's because she taught him.
Oh,
she taught him that. Earlier, we see him standing there just being like,
What did do I
see,
do?
Did you see that guy, Mom? That's Bruce Wayne.
No, see,
oh,
that's
what? Talk, did you talk about him again? No, still not talking about you. She's, oh, okay.
They walk back to the cars together.
Yeah, I know.
They walk back to the car together, and I forget. She's, oh, you know, he's like, yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, you know, I talk to my parents sometimes. She's like, oh, yeah. And he's like, I took a vow. Oh, what kind of vow? A secret vow.
You know what I mean?
Bruce Wayne, fucking get your life sorted out. You know what I mean? I understand your parents died 12 years ago. It's time to pull them together, all right? Psycho. Anyways, he puts her in the car. She fixes her his collar. I forget what she asks him. He's like, oh, I thought you didn't care. And she's like, I don't. Mom does. And she pulls away or whatever. And it's like, on the one hand, it's like, that's a good one. On the other hand, like, you're crazy.
Yeah. You're not actually talking to her, right?
You know what I mean?
Dogs like, don't actually talk.
I don't know about you, lady, but all right. See you later.
Redheads, am I right?
From there, Bruce goes out on not one of his first times being a vigilante with his ski mask on. Yeah, he's going to stop some people who are taking some crates. And so he drops down. He's like, spread out your arms and legs and starfish on the ground, motherfuckers. And they're like, oh, no, we're going to shoot you in the ground.
to which the five people are like, no. No. There's five of us, and we have guns.
Bruce runs away real quick and grabs the security guard they tied up. He saves him. Gunshots are going off. I think he might have already punched some people. He definitely punches some people now. The truck drives away. He runs after it or whatever. He jumps on the back, and he's like, oh, like trying to get on the door. You know what I mean? Like a fucking fat Greg Miller trying to get out of the pool onto the diving board. It don't work, brother. It don't fucking work, Butterball.
Somebody save that big fish.
Somebody parked their van on this diving board. He's trying to get up there. He eventually gets up there. They were throwing crates at him, too. He just did not give a shit. He gets to the front of the truck, and the dude's like, I'm going to fucking kill this guy. And so he's driving, and Bruce got a hammer at one point. He's like, ah! Hitting the hammer on the glass. Guy's like, stop fucking up. It's a rental. Stop. He gets to the front of the grill, though, and he's on the grill, and he's like, listen, nobody's stealing these TV VCR combos. And he reaches into his fake utility belt and gets out his little fake caltrops and tosses them out. They blow out the tires, even though he's on the front of it like a fucking Garfield on a windshield. And so and this thing is hurtling. And of course, it stops just in the nick of time before crushing him against the wall. He's there. He got his ass kind of kicked. But he also, you know, stopped the crime from happening. I think the cops show up and he runs away from the cops. Like, oh, yeah. A young Harvey Bullock was there. A young Harvey Bullock. It was the cop. He's like, Jonesy, drive over there.
I feel so like he caused a lot of damage. Way totally, more damage yeah. than totally. Was necessary.
That's what he does, Kevin.
You know? And also, he didn't even save the, like, the dude that got hit with the, you know, the metal. What is it called?
Yeah, that guy's. He saved him. He pulled him inside from being shot.
Well, he saved him from being shot, but he could have jumped in a minute earlier. And not that guy couldn't. Like that guy probably has a concussion. He maybe a cracked skull.
He really didn't save a lot. But you I'll can save you a lot by using Honey. Oh, these days, online shopping is the only shopping we really do. That's where today's sponsor, Honey, comes in. It's the free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and automatically tests them when you're checking out. Scours, word of the day. Big fan of that. It's super easy. You install it once, couple clicks, gets it in your browser, and then anytime you're buying stuff online, it just automatically searches for the best promo codes. It applies them, and it saves you money. I've personally saved hundreds, if not thousands of dollars from using Honey over the years. Kind of Funny has definitely saved thousands of dollars. And you don't even need to think about it. It just does it for you. When you're checking out on one of the over 30,000 supported sites, Honey pops up, and all you have to do is click apply coupons, searches, it applies it. You're saving the money. It's simple. If you have a computer, Honey should be on it. It's free and works with whatever browser you use. You can get Honey for free today at joinhoney.com/morning. That's joinhoney.com/morning so they know that we sent you. It's free. That's the craziest thing to me. It's not even a service you have to pay for. Totally could have to be paid for because it's worth it, but it's free. Honey.com/morning. Next up, I want to give a shout out to Bespoke Post. This fall, as you get back into the swing of things, Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collections guaranteed to upgrade your life. Kevin, you recently got one of these. You got the Hue kit.
I'm loving
using it in your bathroom, right?
Yeah. I set it up, tied it with, it gave me a new hub too, which I actually needed because I have too many Hue lights. I don't need to get into that part of it, but it works great. I mean, Hue lights are the best, and the fact that I got two in this little set, I'm all about it.
There you go, man. Box of Awesome. They have a whole bunch of different categories you can pick, whether you're into alcohol, whether you're into light stuff, whether you're into like clothing. They got options for you. Joey got this Weekender bag recently. She just went to her mom's house and I saw her take that bag with her. So but the Box of Awesome is definitely helping out. Kind of funny here. To get started, you just take the quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them pick the right Box of Awesome for you. They release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs only $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. You can get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter code MORNING at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code MORNING for 20% off your first box. Back to it.
So yeah, and the next morning Bruce is training, and what's he training in, guys? Jiu-jitsu. Fucking Nick, you know what I mean? And of course he's over there talking to Alfred, and Alfred's all like, oh man, and this is what we're talking about earlier, where he's like, they weren't scared of me. I need to instill fear in their hearts when they see me. They can't just see a guy in a ski mask drop down and tell him to say starfish it up. I need to scare them. And in the middle of this, you know, Alfred's like, maybe we should keep this shop up.
I just feel like Alfred's like, yeah, I mean, you scare me. I don't know. You're pretty scared.
Well, it's his friend. You know what I mean? It's his son out there doing all this crap.
There's a moment later where he comes out in the suit and Alfred looks terrified.
Oh, yeah. He's like, oh, God. He looks fucking terrified. Totally. But instead, yeah. Andrea shows up and they stop the shop talk, and then she's like, what are you doing? And he's like, jiu-jitsu. It's what all the cool people do. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called jiu-jitsu. And she just walks over and pushes him down because she's like, I went to the fucking school for girls and this is how they taught me to fight. And he's like, he just sits there all, jiu-jitsu isn't that cool, I guess. I don't know.
My lungs hurt.
And then he says, Andrea, take off your shoe and lay down. I want to do a move to you. they roll around, though, and they have this just fucking connection. They start making out in the grass. And Alfred comes in to give him some lemonade or some shit. And he sees it. He's like, whoop. And he just does the Grandpa Simpson, turns around and leaves, right? And that's the end of the flashback. We've shown that they are in love and that this is how their relationship began. Back in our time period, there's another crime boss. There's another crime boss, and they're at a gravesite. They're back at the graves. I forget what they're doing in the graveyard.
They went to Chucky's grave, who had just died, to pay their respects.
Were they paying their respects? Yeah, were they? Is that what they're doing?
Oh, okay, I mean, okay. He might have been going there to pee on him. There's no clear way to know.
So he goes there and is like, cool, Chucky soul, you're great. And then what happens is smoke comes up. It's the fucking phantasm again. And this guy's like, oh no, this is not what I wanted.
Just to be clear, he definitely was going there to talk shit. Because he walked up and he was like, you were always dumb or something like that. And then Phantasm later says it back to him.
Yeah. Does he? Or no? Does she? Anyways, Phantasm is like, I'm going to fucking kill you. Fucks up the dudes he's with and chases him. And he's just running. He eventually falls in a grave. And he's just so fucking small and fat and unathletic, he can't get out of the grave. And that's where I got the ups. Is that at least, you know, granted, I'm fat and unathletic too, but I'm tall. So like a 6-foot grave I could climb out of. I'm not worried
about
that.
How deep of a pit do you think you're like, oh, fuck, I can't climb out of here?
I would say probably, I mean, what, 7 feet? I mean, like, I feel like he doesn't even try. Like,
yeah.
How wet is the dirt too? You know what I mean?
You got to imagine it's not that wet.
Greg, I give you 2 tries before you sit down and start playing Switch and just give up and just resign to the fact that you're not home forever.
I feel like Greg's going to like dig out stairs with his hands. Like, I can see him get in there and be like, I got this. You get there, he's just covered in dirt. I'm in Kevin, dirt.
Kevin, your new place has a backyard. Go dig some holes of multiple sizes, and I would gladly come over, and we can do a weekly challenge and see which one I can get out.
You're saying that? I can set it all up.
I'm done. I'm 100%. I don't want you to leave me for dead when I can't get out of the one that we find the best.
Oh, no, I'll get you a ladder. I'll get you a ladder. We'll pull you out.
To make sure he's dead. Push the grave into him. It's just like
grave headstone on top of him.
So much
right?
more. I thought, oh, maybe they're gonna just, you know, dig him up and he'll be buried alive. No, even worse. Somehow even worse than being buried alive.
So that's great, and that makes the newspapers the next day, where a very old mafia boss sees it and seems like he's gonna die, but he just gets his oxygen. He's fine. We'll meet him later or whatever. Then Gotham City Police Department is like kind of starting to turn on Batman. Right, but is this where they use the bat signal as the trap? I forget. No, that's later, right?
No, I think that's pretty close.
Here's where they put on the signal, and it's like Gordon's like, I'm not gonna fucking help you, and Reeves is like, fine, I'll fucking do it myself. And him and Bullock up there, they turn on the bat signal. Batman doesn't come because Batman is over at the gravesite where all of this happened, right? And he's like, oh yeah, like I gotta go investigate. And that's when he finds the next polymer, right? That's how he gets this, right, Ira? Such a good detective.
I'm just saying, everyone knows to look at the plants on the ground and be like, there's a similar chemical here that there was in the garage.
Interesting. He probably smelled it.
These are probably connected.
In my brain, it smells like fog juice. You know what that smells like?
That little sweetness to it.
Like, kind of want to lick it, but I know.
I'm glad I've never tasted it, but I've always wanted to.
I know. Kevin, go lick some fog juice while you're digging those holes for Greg.
Thank you.
Can I say something that is like, that is revealing about me?
Yeah.
A couple days ago, I've never seen a Tide Pod in my life.
Yeah. Sure. And, you wanted to eat it, didn't you?
I noticed that. So Joey has Tide Pods.
Nick, everyone
wants
to eat
those. I wonder
what
they look like. It's like, why the fuck would people want to eat? Like, there was that whole thing of people eating it. And I pulled it out. And I was just like, I'll be damned if I don't want to put this in my mouth.
They look and feel delicious. You know what I mean?
It's weird.
Like, why a company hasn't made Tide Pod edible, like candies, blows terrible my idea. Mind. No, it's a terrible idea, but I'd eat one of those bad boys. You imagine
somebody was doing
it
like donuts.
Sour?
I remember there was a thing like bakeries were doing it when this was happening. They were making like their own, like, but that's like a local thing.
Different cream filled things.
So. Yeah.
I'd like they're blue a lot, and I'd like it to be that green blue too. Sour, the blueberry sour jelly.
I'll tell you what, you gotta be careful with the Tide Pods though, because here's what happens: like they never ever fully disintegrate in my washer. And for the first like 10 washes, they wouldn't fully disintegrate. So there would just be like a piece of plastic and two shirts like stuck to it. You know,
isn't that because you're overpacking your washer? You need to put less in there.
No. So now instead of being a smart person and just getting washer and just getting like, you know, the fucking fabric softener or whatever, I get a Tide Pod and I just go a little tick and I.
Did you hit your mic? Did he do it on purpose?
He must have.
Andy, do you understand how much more expensive the fucking Tide Pod is than just getting the liquid detergent?
Yeah, because you're doing the same thing now.
But it reminds me of putting frosting on a toaster strudel.
That's fair.
That's the exact same thing as pouring.
That's the luxury he pays for, Kevin.
But the luxury is it's all in one. You just toss it in there.
Joke's on you.
Andrea and Arthur Reeves go to dinner. They're at like basically this like Windows on the World Gotham City restaurant. Arthur's got the hots for her. Andrea is not giving it like the whole feel. You know what I mean? She's not giving the full feel, but like Arthur wants to go further, obviously, in this relationship.
Arthur keeps referring to him as daddy as well.
Yeah, he's like, and how is daddy? And she's like, oh, we're closer than we've ever been. Like, oh, that's a weird thing to say.
All of this is weird and incestuous. I was not happy about it.
Him calling her father daddy made me really uncomfortable.
I'll tell you what though, Tim.
Please do.
We're talking about it being incestuous. Mm-hmm. This took place in 93. The 20-year mark is up by now.
That's not how that works. That's not how it works.
It's not just 20 years from the time.
If they were saying it, they would have said 34 years.
You don't know if he said it or not. You don't know.
It's true.
But it doesn't make it already a thing. You know what I mean?
Got it.
Yeah, and it's 19 years.
How is the old man? He says, we're closer than ever. Batman's across the street. He's just being a complete goober. Just staring at her.
This is one of those scenes where he should have been probably two more buildings over. Yeah. There's no fucking way the table next to Andrea's table and this guy didn't look over and like, is that fucking Batman just right on the roof? Dude,
shot is comical. It's so funny seeing their two faces and just Batman in the back.
It would be like literally, Tim, if you looked out of your window right now and just saw Batman in the next house, like looking at you. It's so apparent.
And the hands in the binoculars or whatever, like the little hand. The thing I loved about that is like the hands that were drawn were actually painted as a background as opposed to like animated sort of just drawing order. So it was just like two little still hands. It's so weird, dude.
I do love that though, and that's one of the things I like about the animated series is they do show him like high up a lot. They show him perched on these things. They show him sort of blending in with the background. Not obviously in this one, we're making fun of it.
Gargoyle.
It's a little bit weird that he's using his bat powers to basically stalk his ex-girlfriend. But because at this point, he doesn't really know she's related to the Phantasm at all, right? He just knows she's in town and he's
like, well, no, he does remember because he found the polymer stuff by the her just gravestone, like, right?
Yeah. Oh, right. By her mom's gravestone. So he assumes maybe she has that's right,
the grass,
that's right.
Yeah.
But, go ahead.
From here, we go into flashback. More of Andrea and Bruce, you know, getting to know each other, becoming this whole thing. This is what we were talking about earlier. They go to the World's Fair. They're walking around. She's like, do you really think we'll see any of this stuff happen, Bruce? And he's like, oh, and he's looking at a car that'll be the Batmobile. And they fuck around there.
Which, can we talk about the Batmobile?
Sure.
Cool. Awesome.
Don't we have a show? Cool. Don't we have a show within the show?
Isn't that a podcast?
Oh, sure. But here's my thing before we even hit this thing of the podcast within the podcast. We don't really see the Batmobile. Like, we know it's the Batmobile.
Don't we see it when it drives out of the cave and it's like that? You shouldn't have a turn like that in the middle of your cave structure, right?
Sure. But it's like the animated series, I feel like we get way more Batmobile than we get in this movie.
Yes, sure. But like, to include it, like, I feel like we still can include it in our Batmobile.
Andy, hit the songs.
Batmobile.
Here's kind of funny. Batman in reviews, a podcast within a podcast within a podcast. We're talking about the best Batmobile. Right now, the rankings look like this. Number one is the Batmobile from 1989 Batman. Number two is the Batman Returns Batmobile. We didn't like the luge. Number three is 66 Batmobile. Where do you guys want to rank the Batmobile here from Mask of the Phantasm?
I mean, two. I think it's you're gonna get underneath the 89 Batman.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that I'll one's real. Above.
Yeah, but like, if this one would be real, it would definitely be number one. It's so cool. Ass. And when so like sick. That shot where we see the inspiration of it, and he just fucking loses his shit. Oh. I get it.
I say great. I would give it. I'll play ball and say number two. I think that the Tim Burton Batmobile is better. All right,
but hold on
the
a second.
Leash thing
on.
I don't help out much.
Switch over to browser.
And it's just the fact that we don't see a lot of it in this movie.
Look at this. So
yeah, you're but I mean, we don't see this Batmobile enough in this movie.
He doesn't really.
But we see it, right? We see it once at least, so that counts.
I honestly don't know if we did see it once. You say that, and I believe you, but I don't even remember seeing it.
I just want to point out that
look how cool
this
looks.
Very cool Batmobile.
Two, it appears, and Kevin, maybe you can count the cylinder heads a little bit more, but it appears like it's a V12.
It is.
It looks like there's six exhaust ports on either side. Man, that's a fast car.
Look at
this.
I'm going 89 for sure.
No, you're crazy. Right. This is number one.
Where do you
sure.
think we see it? Because I'm looking right now. I got Netflix open. I'm scanning.
He drives it around a little bit. There's that part where he just slowly drives it past the penguin as the penguin's just chilling at a coffee shop.
No, that's 89 Batman.
I knew that Nick was going to refer to that scene in this in review.
It's hilarious. It was such a stupid scene. It's like, why would you need to drive by as Batman? He's just everyone. That's the moment I was like, everyone just knows he's Batman. Why are you hiding anymore?
I really want to buy this toy. You know what I mean?
First off, you should buy the toy. Secondly, I'm scanning this movie. Where am I seeing the one scene?
There's a scene where? That he's coming out of the he's coming out of the Batcave and he takes a hard right turn and it's like there's no reason to ever take that turn so hard. Yeah, Spider-Man fan 126 is it's in long. The movie.
Yeah, it was in the movie.
A lot of people can say that. I'm just saying I'm looking through right now, and that's how hard it is to find the Batmobile in this, which is why I think
it doesn't matter. If it's in one shot, it's in the movie, and it's number one in my opinion. You guys are crazy, and I hate you all. Not you, Andy.
Well, that's rough. You know what I mean?
What if I agree with
that? Okay. There's a great thing here. So after he's falling in love with her, clearly, and he's talking to Alfred. He's like, what the heck am I thinking, Alfred? Like, you know what I mean? He's like, whoa, Batman, I can't fall in love. I have a fucking mission to do or whatever. And from there.
It's just like, do you though? You know what I mean? You can stop. Like, you can fucking stop right now.
You think at any point Alfred was like, do you know what's more probably it's going to be better for the overall city than you just randomly fighting street thugs is using your billions of dollars to affect change? Like, you could probably just cure homelessness in Gotham City with all of your money and still have a few bill left over. Just FYI. And he's like, no, I have to fight crime. And Albert's like, fuck it. I tried, man.
My secret.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at the Slack. Not it. Slack, the chat. Spider fan, it's in the movie. He drives to the grave. Like, that's the best we can do is that he drives. I mean,
here's the thing. It's in the movie, so it counts. Should be number one.
I'm not saying it's not. Shouldn't be ranked. I'm just saying.
Sounds like that's exactly what you're trying to find.
Here it is. Here it is. Yeah. Wow. There it is. Wow. How sexy is this? Is it? It's in it for 2 seconds. Is it drive to a gravesite?
What is it? Greg, let's see some fucking guns pop out of it. Let's see some cool
gadgets. Burn someone alive with this car.
Okay, this
is this a movie for kids or is this a movie for NC-17 guys who want to get their fuck on? Right, come on.
Exactly. Let's burn some ants, Andy. Let's go.
Anyways, after this, they meet up with her dad, where her dad is there with the Joker. Right, he's outside, and then he's also there with Arthur because Arthur turns out is like cooking the books, and then the dad is there with the gangster who turns out to be the old man. And it's like, oh, okay, right? And
Abe Vigoda.
Yeah, it is Abe Vigoda, isn't it?
Yeah. It is Abe Vigoda.
Yeah. Great voice casting this across the board.
Oh, yeah. When Bruce, and this isn't when Joker's like, hey, nice, you're abroad. But when Bruce and Andrea leave, they walk outside like, all right, well, hey, this is weird. Your dad's kind of, oh, what the hell? And then like a biker gang shows up and just fucks up some guy who's like trying to sell lemonade or 3-card Monty. I don't even fucking know. But they're like, we're going to kill this guy for this box of cash. Because again, Gotham City has always been a fucking toilet.
Batman comes in, or I guess at this point, it's Bruce Wayne comes in after the guy's been knocked out with the thing. You know what I'm talking about? The like piece of lead that they hit people with? It looks like a stake.
Blackjack. They call those blackjack.
Yeah.
Just to back up, though. The guy that's getting assaulted is a criminal also, right? Like, he's running some sort of weird illegal...
No, I mean, it's a scam.
I don't think he has a permit to be out there, running his business, but I don't know if it's illegal to the point that he needs to be beaten within an inch of his life.
I'm not saying the punishment fits the crime. I'm just saying that this guy's up to no good and that if he died, one less... horrible person in the world, right?
Yeah, of course.
I think that's going a little far, just to be clear.
You're very red hood about it. I appreciate that. You're taking the Jason Todd method on how to take care of the system.
Binary, ones and zeros.
Anyways, though, Batman's Bruce Wayne sees this and he's like, ah, fuck this. And he runs over there and he starts fucking these guys up. And like, you want to talk about if you're anybody and you're watching billionaire Bruce Wayne run up moving motorcycles and like he runs up the front of the motorcycle and just goes, pah! And like there's this like slow mo, like, and it's like, that's fucking dope as shit. But holy
fuck, he fucked up that guy's day for sure.
That's what, if I was Andrea watching this, I'm like, I got to sign up for jujitsu. I didn't know I didn't know they're teaching Nick to run up motorcycles and punch people in the face.
That's actually day one. They teach you that in Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
But the problem is, he beats the shit out of these people. The one guy's whipping a chain around and he's just owning him because, of course, he's Bruce/Batman. But in the middle of all this, even though everything's going swimmingly, and even though Andrea was like, just come back to me, he looks over at Andrea at one point. He's like, Oh no, you're watching me do this and I don't know how to. And as that happens, the guy with a baseball bat drives on by and just fucking full bore.
He gets so distracted. Like, I don't know what happened here. Why did he just all of a sudden get the yips and fucking not be able to throw the ball 4 feet to first base? Like,
that was the point. You know what I mean? He can't be in love and be Batman. You know
it was so poorly shown, man. And it was so unnecessarily violent where it's like that to a viewer, it's distracting where this human man just got hit with a baseball bat from a person on a motorcycle so hard that the baseball bat exploded. And he's just minorly inconvenienced.
Ridiculous. I mean, it looked like it hurt him.
It looked like it hurt bad.
When Sammy Sosa had cork in his baseball bat,
I do.
You would cheat in the major leagues, and you would carve out sort of the center of the baseball bat so that they swing faster, and you would put cork in the center. One time he swung it, and the fucking bat just exploded, and they were like, "Oh, Sammy Sosa's cheating."
is that how he broke him over his knee the whole time?
Didn't you saying?
No, a lot of people do that.
Are you saying the guy who hit him is Sammy Sosa?
It's possible. I'm not saying that.
This is where Batman goes, or Bruce goes back to the cave, or the grave. He's outside. He's at the grave again, and he's like, I can't. Batman can't be both. I can't do this and have this mission, and I can't be in love. And he goes to the grave, and he's like, let me take back the vow. You know, let me not do this. Please let me off the hook. Give me a sign if it's okay. And then Andrea comes up and she's like, maybe they sent me. And they make out. And I think it's raining and they make out in the rain. It's like, or hug in the rain. It's a great moment. Because this is like a great scene of like Batman trying to get out of this thing because he's found love. And I do really appreciate it.
I feel like it also shows a humanity of like the human part of him, like realizing maybe there's still a chance for him to live a normal life, trying to argue with that, like that part of him that feels like he needs to make the world a better place. And it's just something that I don't think we see that often with Batman. And it's, I think that was a shockingly powerful moment. I loved it.
Yeah, 100%. Some other movie shit happens here, but we're skipping it. And we'll get, I'm sure I'll come up to it later. But in what happens, we'll continue the flashback is there that Andrea is supposed to go to Europe with her father, and they don't know how long they'll be gone for. And they're walking around like Wayne, not Manor, but Wayne, like the estate, right? They're walking around because eventually some bats fly out. Spoilers. They're walking around, and Bruce is like, no, that's just, you know, that's not going to do. And he proposes. And she's like, oh my God, of course I'll say yes. And that's when bats come out. It doesn't fucking matter. And they're like, oh, we're going to get married. This is fucking fantastic, right? So he drives her back to the house. Daddy's there. And she's like, oh, not you, Nick, the other daddy. Daddy's okay. there. And she's like, oh, daddy never has visitors this late. Meow, meow. And the outside is Joker. And this is where he's like, whoo-hoo, I can't whistle. And she gets, he's like, Bruce is like, all right, I'll see you later. Go have fun and tell your dad, or don't tell your dad, or tell your dad. I forget what they're going to say. Don't tell your dad. And like, you know, we'll deal with the thing, and it's just going to be great. And she's like, great. She goes inside, and Bruce drives away, and he's like, everything's coming up roses for old Batman. He's having a great time, right? He goes back.
he's having a great time. I picture
it's all working out.
Like,
yeah, right?
Spider-Man
and 3 then, yeah. Then it's him investigating the cave. He's like, oh, maybe it runs the length of the entire house. Alfred, this is great. And Alfred's like, bro, bad news. This just came. And it's the engagement ring. And it's a letter from her being like, it's over. We're too young. I'm going to the Mediterranean with daddy. And he's like, oh, no, it wasn't all great. I thought it was great, but it wasn't great at all. I'm going to put the other one here just to get it done with, right? It turns out that what happened is when she went in there, right, it was all the bad guys were there. And they were like, listen, daddy, you're going to fucking pay us all the money you owe us. And he's like, listen, just give me 24 hours. All the European banks are closed right now, all right? They're all over there on baguette breaks. I need your help to let me off the hook on this one. And just for 24 hours, you get all your money. And they're like, great, no problem. They no sooner close the door. And daddy's like, Andrea, pack up all your shit. We got to fucking run. The money's all in investments. They'll never get it back. We got to get out of here. And she's like, but Bruce just proposed to me. We're going to start a life and everything's going to be fantastic. And he's like, listen, that old man who's going to be the old man from later, who will talk to Arthur in a car at some point and be like, I will protect you. That'll be very important. Or was very important. He'll fucking follow you to the ends of the earth and kill you. Like, it's over. Get in the thing. I can protect you. The Mediterranean Sea is vast. They'll never find us there. No one can find it on the map from Gotham. This makes sense.
All of these Italians have zero people over anywhere near the Mediterranean Sea that they can come hunt you guys down. They'll never find us. I recommend we go to the southern tip of Italy to hide out. Hide in plain sight, as they always say, Greg.
Right, exactly.
Is it not shocking that at no point where they're like, you know, Bruce Wayne's super rich. Why not get the money from him?
It's a good point. Like, how much do you think
he'll float us the money? It must have been something like that. Even if it's like $10 million. He's got
that ring. That ring's probably half
a big old ring.
That's a down payment right there. Here you go, Chucky.
Great point. It's tied in weird investments. You know, it's a weird sort of bank system.
I'm just the lamest proposal of all time.
Yeah,
Bruce with the rock.
I mean, he just doesn't.
I'm not good at these things. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it was very much like, hey, Bruce Wayne, I don't know how to handle my feelings. You know, like, I get it.
Whatever, I guess. So that's how that got wrapped up. But like I said, the old man that I referenced earlier, who was putting the screws to daddy, he had gotten in the car with Arthur and was like, you gotta help me, they're killing everybody. And Arthur's like, get fucked, old man. He's like, oh no, who can I turn to? Oh right, I'll turn to the Joker. So he goes to the World's Fair, which is completely abandoned and ruined now, and nobody breaks anything down in Gotham. As shit, the Joker's there. And he's got this robot woman that cuts up baloney, and he's picking things off her face, and he's having a great time. He's got a little dog. And he's basically like, you got to help me, Mr. J, keep me alive through all this stuff. And Joker's like, of course I will. And then he kind of offends him at the end. I forget what he does to say him. And he's like, oh, I'm going to put a smile on that face. And you're like, okay,
he keeps pushing him, and that freaks me out. Because like old people, you can't push. Joker. No.
Oh, the other way around. I thought you were talking about how he's pushing the Joker.
No.
Don't push old people either.
Yeah, because they fall over. They break hips real easy. That's pretty safe for this episode.
Batman goes to Andrea's apartment, Andrea's apartment. It's so weird knowing Andrea Renee and then not wanting to say Andrea, but they, you know, what I do here. So we're, from here on out, we're just calling her Andrea. So because I'm more worried about getting in trouble with Andrea Renee when I mispronounce her name because this game this movie reprogrammed me.
Scary.
They go to Batman goes to Andrea's apartment. He's like, you know, the fucking photo, like, who, what's going on here? And she's like, oh, I don't fucking know anything. And he's like, ah, fuck. And he leaves, but she also makes it clear that she knows he's Batman. Yeah, she figured this out.
She saw him at the gravesite.
Grave, right.
Then she ran over to where he was and realized he was standing next to the Wayne's gravesite and was like, two and three, it makes five. You know what I mean?
Totally. From there, Andrea is like, I'm going to go kill the old man, Abe Vigoda. And she goes to his apartment as the Phantasm. And she's like, Abe Vigoda, the time has come. You got to fucking die or whatever. And she moves the thing. And guess what? He's been Joker gassed or Joker toxin or whatever. He got a big old grin. And there's a little camera.
Very scary.
And Joker's like, oh, you're not who I thought you'd be. Because, of course, you know, they thought Batman was crazy. Oh, you're not who I thought you'd be. Hey, I'm still going to kill you. And so the Phantasm runs away. The place explodes.
The way all hell's breaking loose, really freaky looking, like he's just like, he looked fucking really scary looking. I don't know.
Oh yeah, he looked real scary.
And he did look like this.
No, that's Einstein. That's different.
Damn it, dude. See, every once in a while, Nick, I don't know where you're going. It's like, I know it's one of five places, but yeah, when I choose the wrong one, it always surprises me. Thank you for being you.
Tippy toes.
From there, Phantasm and Batman get confronted by each other. I think they might fight a little bit. I can't remember. But before too long, Phantasm smokes it out, and the cops show up, and they're like, Batman, you're under fucking arrest. Like, we are onto your shit. And he's like, ah, fuck, they're onto my shit. And so, like, they pull the guns, and he runs at one point, and they chase him, and then he runs again. This is when he falls really awkwardly. He jumps and falls. He eventually runs into a construction site, and they show up, and they're doing the hut, 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 like little fucking SWAT team things. They surround the fucking place. And Batman's like, I'm in over my head here. This sucks. And the one guy just starts shooting the fucking place up, a giant explosion. Bullock's like, ah, man, why'd you do that? Even though we had no fucking idea how we're going to catch Batman. You go back in, Batman's bleeding out the mouth, and he's all fucked up and cut up and shit in there. He's like, I'm in over my head on this one. And so what he does is he takes his grappling hook and he shoots it at the helicopter and wraps it around that thing, right? And then it starts retracting with Batman flying out, and the cops are like, there he is, light him up. And they're just like, everything they got, you know, I mean, they're fucking like, we are gonna kill Batman tonight. And
seemingly with no concern to the helicopter.
No, there's so much room.
Fuck it. If we got to take it down and take out Batman, we're all in.
And so it turns out it was just one of the hobby horses, right? Where you do your lumber work. Where Kevin has these seesaw.
How did he pull this shit off? Like
sawhorse. That's what I'm looking for. Thank you.
How on earth did Batman pull this shit off?
Like, you know what I mean? Because he's good.
What a master.
It's more the thing, yeah, that he just like jumps off the construction site in the one shot and just like lands. And you're like, oh my god, how did you have no cape and anything to break your fall? And then it's just Bruce Wayne in a Batman costume running through the streets, bleeding real bad. You know?
Why would the cape break his fall? You mean like to slow him down? Was,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
You know, so he just doesn't fucking plummet like a human body five stories. He's fucked up real bad. He's running, cops are chasing him, they're on his thing, and he keeps looking over shoulders like, hide your fucking face, Bruce. He's hide terrified. Your fucking face. Eventually though, Andrea's there, and he's like, Andrea, and she's like, get in the fucking car, idiot. They peel out. They still see the car. The cops see the car, like, oh, who's fucking nice ass red convertible is that? No, it doesn't matter to us. She drives them
that
back to
the vintage Ferrari that there's like three in the world we could easily
that only the
out.
Three richest kings could have.
Yeah, and clearly there's someone in the front seat that has red hair. This shouldn't be too hard, Harvey Bullock.
They drive back to Wayne Manor. I think this is where we the other flashback of the thing I already covered. When we come out of it, they have a conversation, Bruce and Andrea, of like, oh, daddy's the Phantasm. Daddy's come and he's exacting all his revenge. We had to live, you know, forever in the Mediterranean. These people never stopped hunting us, and now we're turning around hunting them since they ruined our lives or whatever. Then Batman and her start fucking, and Alfred walks back in. He's like, ooh, does the Grandpa Simpson. He leaves again. Then, you know, like, they wake up in the morning. She's in his shirt, which is always a good look. And she's like, all right, I got to go do a few things. I'll see you later, right? We'll try this again because we're going to fix it and there's no more secrets. And he's like, great, no more secrets. I'm very proud. And she leaves and he sits down and he's like, Alfred's like, what does this mean for your alter ego? And he's like, you know what, Alfred? It means cream cheese and sunshine. And then he looks down at a photo and he's like, but wait. And he sees the Joker and he draws the one line, Nick. And what does he do?
Martha.
Exactly. as it would turn out.
Cheesy. It was just like
so weird.
Yeah. Like, yeah, this would have blown my mind back in the day, and I'm sure it did. But now it's just like the impact of it is so bizarre and weird. Yeah.
He figures out it's Joker. Joker, meanwhile, goes to Arthur Reeves and is like putting the pressure and screws to him, right, or whatever, asking for a bunch of... What is he even asking for? What's he asking him for? I don't remember what his motivation is to shake down Reeves, but he goes there and gives him a hard time. And then it looks like he tickles him, but it turns out that no, he gave him some kind of injection of Joker serum or whatever, because then we catch up with Arthur in the hospital where the doctors... You're a doctor in Gotham City. Somebody can't stop laughing and they're going to die. And this fucking guy's bedside manner is to come in and be like, Mr. Reeves, please, please cool. Stop. But
he
like,
also knows he refers to it as the toxin.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's Joker weird. Toxin.
You've dealt with this before.
You know what it is.
Come on, be a professional.
Or strap he does him not down, be a professional.
Exactly. They finally slow him down a bit or whatever. And they're like, all right, fuck, we're going to leave. But you really got to sort this out on yourself, man. You know what I mean? Let this shit get out of your system. They leave. And then sure as shit, Batman shows up. Batman's like, ah, hello. He's like, oh, no. And he starts laughing really hard there. And yeah, this is where he keeps up with. He's like, when's the last time you saw Daddy? And he's like, I haven't talked to Daddy in years. It was when I was running for my election campaign. I hit up Daddy for money, and he didn't help. He couldn't help me. And he's like, oh, so you sold him out to the mob or whatever. He's like, yeah. And it's like, okay. This is then. Oh, Batman then goes. Yeah. Right? Batman goes to Andrea's apartment, and the phone rings, and it's the Joker. And he's like, I'm still unclear if Joker knows he's talking to Batman or if he thinks he's talking to the Phantasm.
No, I think he thinks he's talking to Batman.
Okay.
And he like, blows, this time I'm going to get you.
Because I'm going to send my drone at you. You know what I mean? I don't know why that would work. Batman literally shoots the drone out of the sky when it's like 100 feet away.
With a big bomb on it.
Yeah, but I mean, he was like, you can't jump out of the window this time. First of all, he could have. He could have very easily jumped out and been fine. Second of all, it was a dumb plan.
So yeah, the thing blows up, and then we get a flashback, right, of Andrea in fucking the Mediterranean, just eating olives like they're going out of style. She shows up at the house, and the Joker's leaving in his human disguise, and she's like, oh no, he paid you, and she walks in, and we just hear, ah! And it's like, that was it, that Daddy's dead, Joker had killed him before he was even the Joker or whatever. Okay, this is now set it all in motion that we know what's going on. So now we go to the World's Fairgrounds where Andrea shows up to fuck up the Joker. Joker, of course, knows it's her. They battle. It's like I was talking earlier where she gets hit with the baloney, which I thought was funny. He uses his flower to spray and melt her metal hand. So she's just running around a leotard. Eventually, the battle goes from inside to outside where Joker turns on a giant fan. Because fan technology was huge at the World's Fair.
Huge. Well, they were like, we don't have air conditioning for the outside, so let's make a giant turbine.
I think it was, it was like a jet turbine.
I also want to say that the sort of androids at the World's Fair really reminded me of Robin Williams in Bicentennial Man.
Yeah.
Sure. Great. It's a similar design. Great movie. It's kind of that,
Rosie
50s.
From the Jetsons?
No. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the same inspiration. I feel like there's an album from Queen that has that same robot design. It's a cool design.
Batman, Andrea is about to get sucked into the thing. She's holding on to a flagpole. Batman shows up on his bat cycle and he's like, oh, Andrea. And so he rides over there and then he just does a cool sick jump. And then he jumps off the motorcycle, grabbing her, but kicking the motorcycle into the fan or the jet. And it explodes. That stops it. He comes down with Andrea. And he's like, you're the Phantasm. She's like, yeah. And he's like, just go away. Let me do this. And you've crossed the line. She's like, he's crossed the line. And they took everything from us. And I need vengeance. And he's like, vengeance won't work. And she's like, aren't you vengeance? And it's like, it doesn't matter. Just go away. All right. Let me take care of this.
I was really worried that several pieces of shrapnel were just going to crush all of them when the motorcycle, down and they're both there and like giant pieces of like mechanical metal just like hit the ground. I really thought they were both done.
Terrifying. She's like, fine. She'll leave. Batman chases Joker into like a diorama of Gotham City, so we get some Godzilla like kaiju battles here where they're like up there and Joker actually really funnily is walking around with like the a building top on his head, so like you see him in one frame just like creep in the background. I was like, that's good. I like that a lot.
I did enjoy the fight on the diorama.
Fun yeah, it was light. Fun, right?
Why not have something a little visually interesting for this?
At least that's
very cool.
This is when they send a little, like, it's almost like Batman's King Kong, and they send the biplanes at Batman. They're cutting him up, and he's got to get him in his cape and smash him real good. Eventually, though, Joker reveals his plan of, like, listen, I've set a bomb. There's tunnels all over this fucking thing. It's all going to go up. Fuck you. And he runs away. And Batman's like, oh, no, fuck you. And so Batman chases him. And they get outside, and Joker has a jetpack. Also, at one point, Batman fucking gets a great punch on Joker and knocks out one of his teeth. Joker puts on a jetpack. And he's like, sayonara, sucker. And Batman's like, not so fast. And so he's flying away, but then Batman jumps on him, and then they're going all over the place and hitting the ground and going in, like, Joker's like, you know, if you do this, you're going to, you die. We both die. If you just let me get away, one of us lives. And Batman goes, whatever it takes. And they get smashed into the ground. And Joker's like, well, this fucking sucks. And he's
but
like,
also, laughing a bit, why though. Would Batman be like, oh, okay, you're right. You get to live. I'll see you later.
Exactly.
You
know what I mean? Exactly. At this point, Andrea shows back up. I think Joker gets the upper hand for a second, but then she shows up to make sure that doesn't fucking happen. And Batman's like, listen, Andrea, like, this whole place is gonna fucking blow. We got to get out of here. And she's like, no, he doesn't get away with this, and I'll end it all here, whatever kind of thing. She's like, goodbye, my love. She doesn't say Bruce, of course, because Joker's there. Goodbye, my love. And then, like, the explosions start. Joker laughs maniacally as all of it starts going to explosion and all this different shit. They disappear into smoke. Bruce gets out through tunnels and, like, the sewers or whatever. Then it's Bruce sad in the cave, and Alfred's like, oh man, like, this sucks, but it's, like, cool that you're alive and that you don't slip into the abyss. She was in the abyss. You walk that line every night, and you haven't given in the abyss, so that's great. You're still good. And he's like, yeah, you know what, I guess I, and he looks over and he sees this glimmer of hope in the cave, right? And he runs over there, and it's the locket that he had seen in her apartment earlier that I forgot to talk about, sorry, that he'd seen it. So it's like, oh my God, she must have survived and brought this locket here. This is somewhat great news, I guess. I don't know. How did anybody survive? How does the smoke work? Doesn't matter. Then we get...
he's also wondering, like, how did fucking Catwoman survive in the other movie? Like, how is
it? Yeah, totally. Then there's a party on a boat.
Maybe all this is in my head.
There's a party on a boat, and a drunk guy comes outside to flirt with the woman outside, and it's Andrea, and he asks her one question, I forget, and she gives a weird answer, and he's like, and it's like, oh, she's like,
I'm always alone, and he's like, okay, I'm gonna go elsewhere.
Right, that's great. Yeah.
This one, not worth it.
And then it's Batman back on top of the city, and they turn on the bat signal, because guess what, everybody, even though there's absolutely no proof, Batman's cleared of all charges. They know he wasn't killing the mobsters.
Yeah, every time.
Batman, I guess maybe in the off time Reeves confessed everything. I don't know.
I don't know.
Also, does this mean that Andrea killed the Joker? Did she succeed? Well,
the multiple seasons of Batman the Animated Series would tell you no.
Yeah.
So what failed. Did she do? She just disappeared and was like, I'm going to kill you. And he's like, no.
That was a college try. You know what I mean? She was done at that point.
She disappeared him, though. She could have left. It doesn't matter. Yeah, who knows?
Seven syllables in the middle. You'll need five for the first and last line. If you're not poetic, no need to fret it. Haikus don't need to rhyme.
Haiku in review. Haiku in review.
You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to write your review in haiku form, just like Briar Rabbit did. Angel of Death's here. Vengeance blackens the soul, sir. Love life. Up in smoke. Marco Barron says, Andy loves Bruce Wayne. Andy kills the bad guys, but Andy kills the ants.
Yeah, he does. Put it on his Wikipedia page, ladies and gentlemen. That's what he's going to be known for.
Jules Bonato says, movie slaps is true. I get why Nick likes Batman. It's called jujitsu.
That's right. That's right.
Just to be clear, Brazilian jiu-jitsu versus normal jiu-jitsu, very different.
Very different. Yeah, I think he was referring specifically to Japanese jiu-jitsu because they incorporate some more strength.
I think they just call it regular jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, they just call it jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Jacek says, "Is my shirt too big, or that guy makes my skin crawl?" Phantasm kicks ass.
That was a weird line. That was very a weird line. Yeah. Forgot about that part.
All right, let's do all of the rag baba gob guys, whatever the fuck they're called.
Andy?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Just do the ragu bagu song, and that can encompass everyone we didn't get to.
Ragu.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Batcast Inside a Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Andy, Kevin, who hurt himself as I said his name, Nick Scarpino, and of course, Tim Geddes. This is where we do a whole bunch of different things in the Batman cinematic universe. Of course, we had a show called Rad Guys Talk Bad Guys where we ranked villains. Now we have that along with a bunch of others. So let's start, as we always do, with Gotham's finest, the secret delights. Does anyone have a secret delight they'd like to call it?
I want to bring attention to the previous secret delights, which include the shocking Russian disguise for Catwoman, with a shout out to Batman's incredibly tiny nipples from 66, Prince soundtrack from 89, and the Penguin Army from Batman Returns.
This is my least favorite podcast.
No, hold on a second.
Secret delight.
I like the motorcycle designs for both the motorcycle that Batman jumps on when he's Bruce Wayne, and the bat cycle that he pulls out. I think those are both bitchin' looking motorcycles.
The bat cycle's dope.
I like Alfred's mustache before he turned gray.
Oh,
yeah, we'll do that. Alfred's hair and the bat cycle.
Okay, the bitchin' bat cycle.
No, I'm putting the one I put in there. So I have motorcycle designs by Kevin. Then I have and then the Alfred mustache for Andy. And then for me, it was the no and the no when he sees the Joker smile. No, yeah, I like that a lot. You know what I mean? Kevin Conroy's like, I didn't get all that. Andre, do you want me to do it again? They're like, no, that's fine.
You see that, guys? That's pretty fucking cool looking.
That's a dope ass thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Batmobile, we already did. Best bat suit. Currently, the number one best bat suit in the Batman cinematic universe is Batman Returns, followed by 89 Batman, followed by 66 bat suit. Where do we want to put Batman Mask of the Phantasm's bat suit?
It's a hard one.
I vote number one. I love the Batman Returns thing, and I love how it is, but I think the Batman bat suit from the animated series / Phantasm is so iconic. And I love the fact that it can go between being fully black to being that black and blue. I love the gray. I love the symbol. I love the simplicity of it. It would never work in a movie, obviously, but I think for an animated series, it's so fucking good.
Yeah, I'm with you. I give it number one because I think that every element about it is iconically Batman, whether it's having the kind of like little sharp shit on it, like the colors of it.
Yeah.
Like even if you just looked at those colors, like the iconography, you know, it's Batman. And the cowl, the colors of the cape and all that stuff. It's like, this is a dope ass Batman.
I agree. That's a great way to put it. Everything's
I
iconic.
I concur.
That's a new number one then, ladies and gentlemen. Phantasm takes best bat suit. While we're here, let's get into Ragu Bagu, a.k.a. Ragu Roga, where we rank the Batman's rogue gallery. Right now, we have it at number one, 89, Batman the Joker. Number two, Batman Returns, Max, Penguin, and the Cat. And number three, 66, Catwoman, Riddler, Joker, and Penguin. Where do we want to put Phantasm and Joker?
At the bottom? Oh, I really like this one. I was going to say we should put it on the top.
I think Joker's kind of forced into this in a way that, like, I get it and it works. But it's like, and it's a weird thing where he's introduced late into this. And it's like his introduction and like the way that they play it out makes it feel like a TV show more than a movie.
I agree.
So I felt like.
Go ahead, Kev.
I was going to say his introduction kind of, I like the fact that he wasn't the main villain and brought up and then added to the group, and he's in that picture, you know? I know that's cheesy, but like the fact that like all the pieces were there, but we needed Batman to put them together for us to be like, oh, look at that. So cool. Joker.
I just love Mark Hamill's Joker. I think just as a Joker, he should rank highly. And I think this is probably the only time we're talking Mark Hamill Joker, right? Yeah. That's, I mean, I would say I would put him.
Well, for the record, I do have an upcoming new segment called Jokers. Great. Great. So we're going to rank Jokers there too. So you don't feel like you have to get it all out of your system here. Because my initial thought of this was I would have put this at number two. So below Joker 89 and above Batman Returns.
That's where I would put it too. Just because I feel like Hamill's Joker is just so perfect for the animated property and almost perfect for like just across the board. I think he's almost number one. I put him at number two.
And the thing is, you know, I think Hamill executes Joker well. I just don't think Joker or Phantasm
not particularly compelling at all. Yeah. No.
But Phantasm, I also wrote Andrea into that, where I like this duality of her playing Bruce and Batman and walking those lines and going between them.
I'll put a number
I find that struggle character line more interesting than what we saw in Returns, which I also enjoyed. None of these are bad, but
yeah.
Okay, so number two seems like we're all fine with.
Yeah, don't turn a no into a yes.
Then, yes a no. Ragu Alfalf, where he rank all the Alfreds in the Batman cinematic universe. Currently, number one, 89's Batman. Number two, Batman Returns. Number three, the 66 Alfred. I think far and away, this is number one Alfred.
Oh my God, so far. This one's actually an Alfred. I like it. For the first time.
No reasons to argue. Time for Joker's Wild, where we rank all the Jokers in the Batman universe. Currently, it's number one, Jack Nicholson. Where do we want to put Mark Hamill? And what I'll put out there is I love Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill is honestly probably, I mean, arguably the best Joker of all time. What I'd like to ask on the mercy of the court here is that we consider this performance, this Joker of this movie, rather than his entire body of work, which I know is very hard to do.
I put him at number two.
Number one, man. Jack Nicholson's Joker is the most overrated thing about any Batman movie ever.
While I wholeheartedly disagree with Tim, I would also put him number one.
So, okay, I'm voting two. Nick's two. You guys are one. Andy, you have to make your vote one or two.
I would put him at two underneath Nicholson.
There it is.
Booyah.
Joker's Wild, the debut segment. Jack Nicholson, number one, number two. And then another brand new segment, ladies and gentlemen.
Great.
Belle of the Batman, where we rank Batman's love interest in each one of the movies. We have not done this. So we have Vicky Vale, we have Catwoman, and then now we have Phantasm. Where do you want to put them all?
Catwoman, then Andrea, then Vicky Vale.
I think it's Vicky. Oh, hold on. I think it's.
Wait, which cat?
So Andrea, Vicky Vale, Catwoman.
There's two Catwomen. Yeah,
the Russian Catwoman. I think we're putting fourth. No.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Definitely. Well, that's done. Okay. Yeah. I feel like Vicky Vale should be number one. Andrea would be number one. No, I'm sorry. Andrea one. Vicky Vale two, then
Vicky Vale.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. All right, come on.
Vicky Vale, like Van Halen.
And the other one is Catwoman is three because she's crazy.
Yeah, the cow. I just think of, okay, if you're going to talk about the sort of the femme fatales of the ingenues, I feel like the relationship, the chemistry between the actors is super important. And sure. I just feel like the Basinger Keaton had really good chemistry. I think I liked them in those dinner scenes. I like that.
Sure, I agree with that.
One of my all-time favorite scenes ever is that when she comes in and they have that candid conversation where she's like, are we gonna fucking give this a shot? And he's like,
yeah, it is really good
Batman. So I would put Vicky Vale probably at number one. The Andrea stuff in this, it was fine, but it just sort of, I don't know, it just feels like it's a little dumbed down for kids and it doesn't have quite the development that I wanted.
You know what, you've changed my mind. I'm putting Vicky at number one on my list too.
Okay,
y'all are insane.
Andy, what did you say?
I think it
sounds like we're just arguing one and two, yeah. Right? Number three is Catwoman Returns. Number four,
I'll put number two.
Who are you putting number two?
Andrea.
Okay, so then yeah, the votes would be then. All right, so the Belle of the Batman. This new segment is Vicky Vale 89, number one. Andrea Phantasm, Catwoman Returns, Russian Catwoman 66. Thank you for these podcasts within a podcast within a podcast.
Next. Oh no! Now it's time to rank the Batman theatrical releases. Oh, so
fuck,
close.
That didn't work. God damn it. Give me one
so
second.
Close,
sorry.
So close. Andy made some fancy little visuals for us now.
That was my bad. There it is. Boom.
Number one.
That worked really well.
Number one, we have Batman 89. Number two, we have Batman Returns. Number three, Batman 66. Where do we put this?
Put this above Returns, maybe, or above 66 for sure. I would say for sure above 66 because it's a well-made, quickly paced movie. I can't put it above the 89 because I just kind of found part. I was just not as interested. It's not very engaging just because of its age, I think.
This is a tough one for me. I don't know.
I'd probably put it number two, actually.
Andy, what do you say?
I don't know if this goes two or three for me.
Over Returns?
I vote three. I say it's Batman 66 at the bottom, Phantasm Returns 89.
With this list, is number one for me.
It's also number one for me as well.
So then let's see the vote. Who thinks it's better than 66? Raise your hand. Everyone. Who thinks it's better than Returns? Raise your hand.
Actually, you know what? I don't think it is.
So then it's... Oh, who thinks it's better than 89? Raise your hand. So there we go. Number one, Batman 89. Number two, Batman Mask of the Phantasm. Number three, Batman Returns. And number four, Batman 66. Later this week, we're doing Annabelle for the Conjuring Cinematic Universe in review. And then next week, we're coming back. Batman Forever, baby.
And they say, no, that's the wrong one. No. What is it? Going?
Please stop. I don't know what you guys think you're saying. My you're
power, not. Baby. Fuck, I can't wait, dude. I'm in. Number one. Batman forever.
Same bad time, same bad channel.
I'm both Batman and Bruce Wayne, so I can.